Welcome to Byline. I'm Rick Howlett. President Obama's health care overhaul will now proceed after the Supreme Court upheld the law yesterday, with Chief Justice Roberts joining with the court's four liberal justices in a 5-4 decision. Implementation of the Affordable Care Act will move forward, with local governments, businesses, health care providers, and advocates for various sectors of the population bracing for its impact. And here to talk about that are Ann Hedreas, healthcare fellow with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center, who joins us by phone, and Terry Brooks, Executive Director of Kentucky Youth Advocates. Welcome to both of you.
Hey,
hi, thank you.
Good to be here.
Kate Miller is going to be joining us shortly from the American Civil Liberties Union to talk about a couple of other decisions on immigration and juvenile justice. Let's start with some numbers. How many uninsured Kentuckians will be able to get coverage now that this thing is going to be moving forward?
We're looking at about 500,000 Kentuckians, and that is if Kentucky goes ahead with the Medicaid expansion, which we strongly encourage them to do. And that would be about 261,000 individuals that would be newly eligible for Medicaid, and another 221,000 Kentuckians that would benefit from the premium tax credit. So these are individuals that would be now having access to health insurance in ways they didn't before. And most important to note is that over 900,000 Kentuckians have pre-existing conditions.
And we're losing our connection with you. We'll see if we can try to restore that. And I'll turn now to Terry Brooks. Terry, good to see you again, by the way.
Hey, it's great to be here always.
We've been talking on the phone for 20 years. So we're good to see each other in person very much. Well, tell us a little bit about what the impact of this will have on children in Kentucky.
Sure. You know, Rick, there's honest debate and there's political debate about ACA in a lot of sectors. The one arena that it seems like Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives can agree on is that the provisions for kids in ACA are positive. So yesterday was a real win for children. In our analysis of the ACA, certainly some of the more nationally publicized aspects, young people staying on parents' insurance until they're 26, elimination of pre-existing conditions, will positively impact Kentucky kids. There are some in-the-weeds provisions around foster youth, around some preventative care that has Kentucky written all over it. So unlike some other states where, frankly, kids fare better in health status, we think that there's some subtext within ACA that are going to be particularly useful to Kentucky's kids.
Now, there are some prevention elements of this that you really have been looking forward to.
Yeah, there's if you look at the preventative care provisions, there's really two things that jump out at us. First of all, currently, preventative care bears a cost for parents. And what that means in Kentucky is all too frequently a mom or dad has to look at their checkbook and make a decision to wait until that kid gets really sick, take them to the emergency room, and that's how they get their well care checkup. Under this, the pediatric care provisions will pay for, it'll provide those annual checkups. The other piece that for Kentucky is so important, if there's an area of health where Kentucky's kids do especially poorly, it's in oral health. And part of the pediatric comp package that's in ACA provides for both oral and vision coverage. So all of a sudden, Kentucky kids can get those annual let's see how you're doing checkups, and they can get their mouth looked at as part of this package. So again, we think that those aspects will have, frankly, a stronger positive impact in Kentucky than they might in some states where children tend to fare better.
I think Ann Hedreas with the Kentucky Equal Justice Center is back with us. Ann, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Can you hear me?
Much better a phone connection. Thank you for enduring this. You talked about some of the numbers. Hundreds of thousands of Kentuckians will be getting coverage. Assuming the Medicaid program is expanded and this health care exchange is created by the state, I mean, what kind of impact do you think it will have on the current Medicaid program, which has been, you know, as you well know, been swimming in red ink?
Well, it will substantially expand it. It'll expand it by about 25% at least. So what that means is we're going to need a lot more providers who are going to be able to serve this population. The good thing is that Kentucky in various ways is already serving this population. So what we have to learn how to do is redirect our resources towards Medicaid and towards serving some of the most vulnerable people in our state.
We are joined now by Jody Mitchell, the executive director of the advocacy group Kentucky Voices for Health, who was running a little late with the traffic. Thanks for joining us, and welcome into the cool weather.
Thank you.
Good to have you here, Jody.
Great to be here with you all.
Let me turn to you with a question. Congressman Yarmuth said yesterday that more people will get behind this law once they learn more about what's in it. Do you think there's quite a bit in there that we still haven't digested or know about?
Exactly. I've had a lot of conversations with community groups and organizations, and they still are unclear of what's in the law. And Kentucky Voices for Health, as you might know, has an issue brief, What Health Reform Means to Kentuckians. And that issue brief is still high in demand 2 years after the signage of the law. And I think now that it's been validated and folks who were unclear, now with the Supreme Court validating the law, more people are going to seek more practical information about what's in it and maybe not rely so much on the political posturing.
Are there any, for lack of a better term, little nuggets in there that we don't know about that you're looking forward to seeing now implemented? We talked about prevention with Terry a few minutes ago, that you're looking forward to seeing implemented as possible, I guess, next year or 2014.
Right. 2014, of course, is the big year. We expect to have 300,000 additional Kentuckians become eligible for Medicaid coverage. And as you know, the Supreme Court made the decision in their announcement yesterday that the federal government cannot penalize states or cannot force states to do the Medicaid expansion. However, there's so much at stake as far as dealing with the uninsured population that we have in Kentucky and federal dollars being on the table, that we believe that's in the best interest for Kentucky to consider that Medicaid expansion.
And Andreas is with us from the Kentucky Equal Justice Center by phone. And are there any elements of the law that that you're concerned about going forward?
I think we've touched on the two of them. One is the decision of the court that the Medicaid expansion is potentially coercive and giving states the option there. We strongly believe that this is in the best interests of Kentuckians and that it is something that we want to go forward. So we are somewhat nervous about Kentucky's choice on that, although we strongly believe that Kentucky will make the right choice in the end. The other has to do with network adequacy and provider availability. Kentucky has areas that are medical deserts, so to speak, where there are very few providers, both primary care and specialists. And as more people start accessing preventative care, which is what we want them to do and what more insurance will allow them to do, that's going to require more doctors and more individuals to be stepping up to see those patients.
Terry Brooks, Kentucky Youth Advocates, any concerns from your neck of the woods?
Well, I'm going to sound like a rerun here, but I think both Ann and Jody made the point that we have to build a case in Frankfort why Kentucky has to accept that Medicaid expansion. I think folks would say that in a state where more than one out of four children live in poverty, where we rank 48th in the nation in economic well-being, to fail to take that option would be a terrible mistake. It's not going to surprise anybody that becomes a volleyball in the toxicity in Frankfort as to where we do it. And reference to the other concern, which is that the best metaphor we have to how the ACA will be implemented in Kentucky is the current managed care system. And, it's that question, how's that going for you? So I think the challenge there is going to be whether the governor and Secretary Haynes learn lessons from what perhaps has not gone as smoothly as they want it. If we're not careful, we're going to be facing an implementation crisis come 2014. The good news is that we have time to think about that. So one of our pitches is that the time to begin to plan that implementation is today, not a year and a half from now.
And Jody, let's get your thoughts on any concerns moving forward now that we know for sure that this is, it's been upheld.
Well, I think I share the concerns that Terry just that he just reiterated about our issues right now with Medicare managed care implementation in Kentucky, and given that we're looking at an expansion of those folks, we need to fix the problems that currently exist. Providers need to be getting paid. Network adequacy needs to be addressed, as Ann stated. And we need to look at making sure that access is available. We're very concerned. Kentucky Voices for Health, our priorities are access, prevention, efficiency and effectiveness of the healthcare delivery system, and children's health. And so all of this really plays a part in the future of Kentucky's healthcare. And the county health rankings that came out earlier this year showed where we rank, and that's near the bottom when it comes to health. And so we see this as an opportunity to improve Kentucky's health, and we look forward to working not only with the administration and the legislature, but working with communities, because it really is about you and I. It's about individuals, and it's about the employers, because they are the payers of health care premiums.
Rick, I think another area that at least is an imperative that the state think about is the whole area of awareness. I'll give you one example. One of those nuggets that you referenced that I think is so important to Kentucky is there's probably not a state that has a worse track record of kids aging out of foster care than Kentucky. 3 out of 4 foster care kids who age out wind up homeless or in prison. When you talk to those kids, health care is a real issue. This allows foster care kids who age out to continue to receive Medicaid support until age 25. Our question is, how do we reach those kids? All the provisions in the world can be on the table. If they're not taken advantage of, they do nobody any good. So I think that one of the challenges is going to be what I would call niched outreach, what that foster care kid needs for access versus a senior citizen in eastern Kentucky is going to take very different artistry from the cabinet. And I think that that's going to be a real challenge as well.
There seemed to be some surprise yesterday with the ruling that especially with the upholding of the individual mandate. And you guys have been following this since its conception. And Jody, what were your thoughts yesterday when you heard the ruling come down?
Well, it was interesting because, as the public knows now, you know, CNN reported early on erroneously that it had been struck down, and then it was back up. And I think that confusion was just in the reading of the ruling and the different provisions. They were first looking at the Commerce Clause, and then they were looking at the Tax Clause. And so we were very proud of the decision that was made by the Supreme Court. The controversial mandate will address the adverse health and financial consequences of the large uninsured population. And in Kentucky, we have over 650,000 uninsured. So we want to make sure that the provisions which seek to provide opportunity for individuals to get covered, we need to educate why coverage is important, why it's of value, and we need greater data transparency out there for purchasers of their care.
All right, we're up on a break, unfortunately. Thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us, Jody Mitchell, Terry Brooks, and Ann Hedreas. And Terry's going to be rejoining us for some discussion of another case. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back in a moment. This is Byline on WFPL.